My mama used to say not to worry, 'cause it's just like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but to tell you the truth.
Hey mamas, you're listening to the Whole Mama Podcast with Jenna Gibbons. We'll talk all things motherhood and how to build a solid foundation for our children. Our goal is to empower and educate and provide the tools to embrace motherhood and raise compassionate and confident lifelong learners. We believe that as mamas, we need to give ourselves some grace, and our children deserve the best education. I'm your host, Jenna Gibbons, recording right from my barn outside of Nashville, Tennessee. So throw something comfy on and grab a mug of your favorite drink, and let's get started. We have so much to talk about. Thanks for joining me today. Welcome to the Whole Mama Podcast. This is Jenna Gibbons, and I am thrilled today to have my friends Morgan and Courtney here from the amazing duo Hadley Park. Welcome, ladies. Thank you for joining
me.
I am so excited you all are here, and we're having...
Thank you for having us.
Yes, and we're having our drinks. What are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking a Prosecco, my favorite, La Marca.
Same.
Love it. I love it. And if you would see us, we all have really cute little mugs, and... It's the kids are in bed. We don't have to worry about anything. And we're just going to be chatting today and hanging out and kind of talking about motherhood and how you all got together and just how we can kind of support each other, especially right now with the craziness going on. So we're going to be talking all about why girlfriends are so important through this season of our life. So I'm going to tell a little bit about you all. Thank you all again so much for being here. These lovely ladies who are with me named their four. I didn't realize they were only 4 days apart, your daughters. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
That's
oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Really
totally serendipitous.
Yeah. Crazy. Hadley and Parker. And so Morgan and Courtney have been writing and recording, performing together as Hadley Park since 2014. Is that right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
We met the year before that in a blind co-write, and we were not pregnant yet. And you just kind of get set up on co-writes in Nashville, you know?
Yeah.
And we hit it off, but then, like, we found out we were both pregnant at the same time, and we were like, oh, okay, this is going to be my pregnant friend, you know? She was due, like, a month before I was, and then Hadley came late and Parker came early, and they were born 4 days apart, and
my gynecologist refused to acknowledge an accurate due date.
She was 2 weeks late.
Yeah, oh my God.
And she wanted to push her even later. And I was like, unless you are accusing me of an extramarital affair,
that's insane.
That is not possible. Morgan's husband's in the military, and he was deployed during the time that her gynecologist.
I had so much drama during my pregnancy with that doctor.
Oh
so
my gosh.
That's another podcast.
We're going to have another show. All of that's insane. 2 weeks. Like, my.
Yeah.
No. Mm-mm. And when she was born, like, was she, like, at a good weight, or was...
She was 8 pounds, 5 ounces, mm-hmm. and, like, 20 inches long,
girl.
Fully cooked,
girl.
Very
chunky. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Yeah.
Very resentful.
And I looks very much like her daddy, so there's a lot of question there.
So you'd be like, told ya. Yeah.
I couldn't sit right for like 3 weeks after
Girl.
Birth. It was
Same.
Traumatic.
My first son, Rowan, was 9, and she had said, oh, I think he'll be 7 or whatever. Mm-mm, that was not the case. And you're right. You don't forget that one.
Big babies.
Yeah. But it's, you know, what do you do, right? They're that we love them and we continue on. But that's brutal. Whew. So you kind of met and then, you know, had babies together. We'll talk about that in a second. But you're also at the same time, you know, making this awesome music. Blows my mind. So you've been on 5 episodes of Netflix The Ranch. Is that right?
Well, our songs have.
Your songs.
Netflix has yet to call us to make an appearance.
That's going to happen.
We are more than willing. Our music has. So, you know, we keep like, we try.
But yeah.
It's
going to happen. It's going to happen.
If you put it in the universe, it will.
See? And we just did. Yeah. So, you know, there we go. And also featured on Sirius XM Radio, The Highway, as well as Spotify's Wild Country and New Music Nashville playlist. So you are. Yeah. That's amazing.
We've had a fun ride.
Yes. You know,
I think Courtney and I met. We were both kind of at this, like, low point in our lives, like felt very unsure of what the future was. It was just a weird time for both of us. And then we ended up being friends, obviously, through our pregnancy, but also we kind of bonded over songwriting. And I think I got out of a lot of our angst.
Right.
songwriting. And, you know, as Courtney had just said, my husband was deployed. I didn't even find out I was pregnant until 4 weeks after he left.
Oh my gosh.
So I was, you know, first deployment, very hormonal.
Yeah, and alone.
First baby. Like,
yeah.
Lots of changes, you know. We both got married to our husbands in 2011. Yeah. Before we knew each other. We have so much in common. It's odd.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, and how you met.
No, it is crazy. And so, you know. We both like Pottery Barn. We have the same plates. I mean, who doesn't like Pottery Barn?
That's right. But the fact that it's the same plates, like, that's crazy.
True. I go to her kitchen. I'm like, I know where this is. I can find this. It's just like my house. Anyway. But no, it's true. I mean, your body changes so much. Everything changes so much. You go from like caring about yourself and worrying about yourself and your life and your husband and stuff like that to suddenly being like, oh my gosh, wait, I've previously been able to do XYZ in my life when I wanted to, and now I'm about to have this newborn. And like, I don't know, Morgan babysat a lot and stuff growing up, but I really didn't. I have a sister that's 10 years younger than me and a younger brother too, but like, I don't know. I really wasn't into the whole babysitting thing. The whole, like, I'm about to have a baby thing was really scary for me because I wasn't, like, totally where I wanted to be in my music career, but I couldn't figure out, like, I had fertility issues. You know that, Jenna.
Yes.
And so I wasn't about to just, like, hand my infant baby over to somebody else to watch either. So I'm sitting there just, I guess, ever since childhood thinking, well, I'll have a career and I'll be a mom and I'm gonna be very present, and then the fertility issues just added to the fact that I was not gonna give up my baby to anybody anytime soon. And then you're going, wait, okay, I had these dreams of doing both, but how the heck are you gonna do it? Like, nobody really walks you through this or tells you, like, actually they kind of expect you to choose. Yeah, what are you gonna be? Are you gonna be a career woman or are you going to be a stay-at-home mom? And we both kind of said, F that, we're gonna do both.
Yes. And you have a podcast all about it, which is incredible. Like, I think
that's our newest baby.
Yeah. And I think you're right. I think, you know, you think you're prepared. And then when you actually have your babies, it's, you know, like today, for example, like I was like, did I shower? Like, did I put makeup on? Like, you know, you're so focused on, you know, on their needs. And then it's the end of the day and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, so, and which we're going
to
talk.
I'm tired to shower at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I don't even expect to shower anymore except every other day.
That's right.
You know, it's just not a need anymore. I mean, it is.
Right.
It's more of like a luxury now, whereas it used to be a daily requirement to get myself going. Now I'm just like, hey, I have a toddler who might kill himself if I leave him for 2 seconds. So if there's no time, there's no time. You know?
Oh, yeah. And then, my husband just reminded me today, this is very embarrassing. So I have a two-year-old, and like, you know how, like you just said, they just keep you going all day. And so we were going to the library and all that stuff. And I went to go put him to nap.
but he fought it. You know how that goes. And he's trying to talk to me and tell me stories. And I'm like, we need to go to bed because my oldest was coming home from school on the bus. And I was like, I'm just going to lay down for a second. Well, all of a sudden my husband's calling me. He's like, Jenna, they're trying to drop Rowan off and you were sleeping. Like, I totally missed his drop off time. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, that was a total mom fail.
That's what we call mom fail on our podcast.
Yeah.
And okay. We have a whole jingle for it and everything. We can lend it to you. Mom fail. Anyway, we love mom fails because we all do that. Talked about it recently in one of our episodes. I left my daughter at school too. It was a half day and I didn't realize it was a half day. And I'm like sending pictures to my mom friends from her school of Ford, my 1-year-old. Well, yeah. He's only like probably 6 months at the time or something. I'm like on the porch taking pictures with them and he's wearing a little shirt that says Wild Thing. I'm like, look at this. And they're going, wait, are you not in the line at school yet for pickup?
Gosh.
And I was like, oh, what? And it's like 11 a.m. I'm going, crap, you know?
Yes.
We're tired.
We're tired. Yeah, we're just tired and we're just doing the best we can. And so we're going to talk.
I feel like I just got some brain cells back. Like,
seriously.
Almost 2.5. I just now can have like functioning thoughts.
100%. And remember names. Like, I'll say that, you know, that person.
Oh my gosh. Or a really basic word. Have you ever been having a conversation and you just stop because you cannot think of the word?
The thing that you brush your teeth with.
Yeah.
Like,
I say things like that. Like, pathetic. The thing you sit in at the table. I can't, like, the place where your butt goes when you sit down.
I used to wonder why my mom would always be like, the thingamajig.
Yeah.
You know, the thingamajig.
That's right.
I found it so annoying as a child. I'm like,
yes.
It's the lack of brain cells.
It's a chair mother. Yeah. I know the thingamajig.
The thingamajig. Yeah. That thing. I know. And I just feel like, you know, we're just going. And all of a sudden, like, our kids, I don't know, like, having a 2-year-old, but I know you guys too know, like, all of a sudden they'll do something and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so inconvenient right now. And it's just like, you know, you try to like just embrace it and move on. It's just
Well, tonight, for example, so we're, you know, we are scheduled at 8:30 to talk tonight, and so I put the kids to bed and Jack has been refusing to poop in his diaper lately. Clenches his butt cheeks together with his little hand, and then he like looks all uncomfortable, but he will not go to the bathroom. And so our new pattern is he goes when he's asleep. I always go check on him because I don't want him sleeping in a messy diaper all night. So I go in there tonight. He has literally never done this. He is asleep, not in his bed, behind the rocking chair, with a massive load. In his diaper. And I'm like, I literally have to read Hadley a story and be downstairs and like
somehow scoop you up and change
and somehow clean this disgusting.
Oh my god, that's so
mess. You were on time. I mean, we were all on time. Like, that's your super mom.
How? I even had a drink poured.
It's
a freaking miracle.
It is. Yeah. I mean,
our superwoman.
Yeah, we got to give ourselves more grace. Like, you know, I mean, I feel like we were on time. And it's funny you talk about poop. Same child today. He goes, I got to go outside. And I'm like, what? And we're on a farm, thank goodness. I walk out. His shorts are down his ankles and all his bare butt is out. And I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, I got to poop. And I was like, no. We got to go. No. So I had to like pick him up and he had already gone. So I was like, oh my gosh.
No. Yeah.
We could have like a whole episode on poop too, I'm sure.
Yeah, and little boys. If I lived on a farm, I would just let them go nude all the time. Yeah. That's the best way to potty train.
It is.
Has no interest in it. He doesn't like sitting on the toilet. If you're like, poop on the potty, he's like, ew.
I know. The poop thing. Oh my gosh. It's it's crazy. And it's the mother joys of motherhood. I mean, it's just what it is.
The things you like never thought you'd say in front of other people.
And here we are.
Back to the point of why we do not hit each other with that stick that you have in your, take that stick out of your hand. And so, I mean, it's like, I say so many sexual innuendos by accident. Speaking to my children.
I know. And inside you're like,
I'm like, oh my God. Please take that out of that hole. You know, it's like, oh my God,
Oh my God.
Why write this?
I know.
Oh my gosh. But this is why you need mom friends.
That's exactly right.
The ages of your children or close to it. It just makes it better.
Well, because I think you can just share about it and like you don't feel like you're alone in it. You know, I think that that's huge because I think it can be very isolating, especially having the young ones and especially right now, like where it's just
so isolating.
So isolating. Yeah. And just to be able to have, you know, someone and say, "Hey, this happened today. Like, please make me feel better."
Like when you are in that infant stage, that first year is really hard. And usually I feel like the mom is the primary caregiver. And in my case, my husband was not helping me at all during the night because he's like comatose in the night. So I can't trust him to get up with the infant. So basically I was doing all the night shifts and then he would go to work and he'd come home. And like, especially I didn't do it so much with Ford, my second one now, because I just am more adjusted this time. But the first time around, he'd get home and I would just, like, I had no social interaction during the day sometimes. Mm-hmm. And he'd get home and I'd be like, "Oh my gosh, you won't believe it. I changed 10 poopy diapers before 11 a.m. And it's like a big deal. And it's a big deal. And I want him to care and listen, but he just doesn't get it. Like, he's not living it. And who wants to talk about poop all the time? But
exactly.
I could text Morgan, who has the baby the same age. And she's like, "Oh my gosh, really?"
So did I.
Yeah, like sending each other pictures of projectile diarrhea that just, you know, you narrowly missed. It's fun.
Yeah, exactly.
We're in the trenches together.
That's 100% right. I mean, I think that it is. It is a trying time, and then trying to make time for yourself, which we're going to talk about too, how you all do that through your music and everything. But it is. It's hard. And to have a friend who can really – and I think sometimes too, if you had a bad day and you're like, "Oh, I feel like the worst mom," just to reassure you that you are not alone. Like, every mom goes through that. Every mom has said that. You know, I think that that is so, so wonderful to have.
I think the more you talk to – friends about stuff, the less pressure you put on yourself, and the more everything gets normalized, and you realize that everybody's got days like you had. And I mean, I don't feel like I'm a failing mom at all. I'm actually proud of the days when I almost forget my child at school. It's laughable. It's a memory. It's like something that I literally look at and just shake my head and just crack up, because nobody died. Everybody's eating and surviving, and you know, it's just, it's a memory. I wonder if that has something to do with our age, because we all came around at we were all like young adults at the rise of Facebook and social media, and so we kind of had more of that self-assuredness already starting to grow. And by the time, I mean, I'm not saying we didn't have insecurities, everybody does. But I notice, like, my friends, especially ones who are, like, my age or older, there's less of the keeping up with the Joneses, less of the fake BS on social media. You just kind of, like, it is what it is, where social media for a while was, like, projecting this perfect life that does not exist.
100% And even my mom will say, like, if I'm going, you know, through something, and she said, "Jen, you know, we didn't have anybody, like, you know, when we were raising you all, and, you know, all these, you have so many resources now, like, you can just Google something, you know, what's this rash, you know," or like,
That's true.
I think you're definitely right about even the social media, because I think we've been almost set up to think, okay, well, this is going to happen to me and it's okay, versus like our moms or, you know, people before who were like, "This is happening to me and I have no one to talk to besides..."
They didn't talk about it either.
They didn't. Yeah. You're right.
They all swept all that under the rug. So it's like the pendulum has swung and then swung back.
Yes.
And now we're all somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Well, yeah.
I tell my mom, I mean, between the two of my younger children, I'm also a stepmom to a teenager, but the two youngers, it's like they've had so many weird, like, illnesses and things that are not life-threatening, but just really strange things. And I'll be telling my mom about it, and she's like, "We did not have any of these things with you kids." And I'm thinking,
because it wasn't diagnosable at that time.
Was it not diagnosable, or did you just, like, go, "Oh, it's just some other rash," and not look it up, you know, not, like, find an answer for it? I don't know, but, like, it's definitely a different world, and we do have so many resources, and we live in Nashville, so we've got great hospitals here, which is amazing. But speaking of back to, like, your mom saying, oh, Jenna, you have so many, you know, people around and this and that and resources. Well, mm-hmm. that's true. But then we're back to like square one with COVID. It's like my parents didn't get to meet my second right. baby until he was like 9 months old or something. Yeah. I mean,
we're on a whole new thing, like uncharted waters, I think, again, you know. And I think we are yeah. we do have to kind of rally and support
it's
each other.
It's also a little old school.
Yeah,
it's a little like, minus the cell phones, we all majorly detached in 2020, and you kind of got down to your core people. Like,
yeah,
if I'm gonna get COVID, I'm gonna only get it from these people that I care That's about, right. because if some jackass at the grocery store gives me COVID, I'm not gonna be happy about it. But like, right. if it's somebody I love, well, that's time well spent.
Yeah, right. exactly. No, you're right. We kind of had, and I think too, even still now, I'm like, you know, do I go out and do that, or maybe I'll just stay home? Like, I feel like
I am way more reclusive.
Way more. And I think it's just, I don't know if it's comfortable, it feels what, you know, whatever. And I think it's just, it's kind of taken us in some ways back a little bit, I think. But
I think it took the pressure off. I used to feel like I always had to say yes if I had an empty space on my calendar.
100%.
I didn't have a legitimate reason to say no. And so it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm free. Yeah, we'll be there. And I didn't want to go.
Yep.
And now it's like, I have given myself permission to say no.
And isn't that so freeing?
I only spend time with people who I want to spend time with.
Yep. I think, and it is freeing, you know, it's because you don't, I think you feel obligated, you know, to say, okay, yeah, we'll go, when you really don't want to. And,
yeah.
And I think too, I think you feel like time is so precious now, you know, I want to really be spending time in doing the things that, you know, as much as I can, the things that I enjoy with my family and with friends, you know. But I mean, I think definitely giving yourself permission to say no is very freeing.
I had a baby during the pandemic, and it was a really odd thing to like, you know, give birth wearing a mask and things like that. But aside from that, it's been like the perfect time to have a baby because mm-hmm. my husband's been working from home all the time. I'm at home all the time. Like, there's just more help from him and mm-hmm. less anxiety about endless tensions about people kissing your baby for no reason. Like, and just things. Like, and I don't know. He's been super helpful. And, you know, I used to be like, oh, you really have to go to a work thing after you write today. He's a songwriter, too. I'm like, you really have to go get a drink with somebody. Like, I just remember having arguments when Parker was an infant, being like, oh, my God, you won't just come home and help me or something?
Right.
And
yeah.
now it's like, he's not doing it anyway. So it's been really nice to have him
too much time.
In some respects, except that, you know, I really liked it when he started writing again with people outside the house. It like really, I was kind of sad.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Over. Even though I want COVID to go away and be done.
Yeah.
But
I think it's taught us to slow down a little bit and be more present. Oh, yeah. I think, you know, in that part, you know, I do want it to end too, but I think it's been a good reminder, you know, for that. And then also, so I wanted to touch on that, how I met you all, because I think it's funny how you all met, you know. It's just funny how you meet people. And to let my audience know, so we had met a couple years ago. Again, my memory's gone. I can't even remember.
I think it was like 4 years ago.
I think it was.
If not five.
It was a while ago.
It was a while because you hadn't had any babies yet. No, you had one, I thought.
I had one and I...
Oh, okay.
And this is so...
You had just had issues or something.
I did, yes. So we met at a charity event outside of Nashville, and I had already heard about you all and your music from my friends Lindsay and Josh. And so Lindsay had given to me, I had just lost a baby, and she had given me your album and a bottle of wine. And so, because, you know, I was going through a hard time. And so I was on my way actually to the hospital. She'd already given it to me. She came that week, and I went for my DNC and everything. And I put your album on our way. My husband drove me and honestly got me to the hospital because it was a rough morning. And I remember...
I'm remembering this story now. You're going to make me cry.
I can't. Yeah.
And I now I'm going to cry too. And I remember when you all were there, and I was like, I have to tell. And I was like, I could be real creepy, but I'm really feel like I need to tell you all.
I vividly remember we were on the front porch talking about this.
Yes,
I remember too. I forgot that part of the story, but I never forgot talking about all of this stuff with you because, I mean, I've had 6 miscarriages now, and I think at that point I had probably had 2, maybe.
Yep.
And they're just really traumatic, and they it's one of those things that, like, you can't fully understand it until you've gone through it, and so therefore, if you're lucky enough to never have gone through it, you're never fully going to understand it, and I wish that for everyone out there.
Oh, yeah.
But when you have gone through it, I don't know, the only thing that has made me heal from it is having my actual live babies with me. But if I still, like, think too hard about any of the miscarriages, I will just lose it all over again.
Same. I can't, I think about it, and then I have to, like, normally the kids just make me continue on, you know, but it's always there. But I think when you were talking about having, like, even your mom friends, but you know, even finding someone who you might not know very well, but as soon as you talk about that with them, there is an instant, you know.
I mean, I can't even tell you, Jenna, and I mean this, like, for years I thought about you.
Oh, now you're making me cry.
We had such a connection with you.
I thought about you, and I still think about you all the time. Like, when you suddenly posted something like you had a baby or you were pregnant again, I can't remember which it was, and I was just like, oh my God, I'm so happy.
Oh, you're making me cry.
I haven't talked to you since the front porch.
The front porch, that could be.
I just wish that for anyone that has been there. Like, it just,
I
don't know. That's,
well, that I'm honored that you even No, it's true. I was like, I've got to go tell them. Like, it, you know, I just, anyway. 100% I think that you know, you have to, especially and my girlfriends who had gone through it too. I was so grateful to have them, because my friend said that when you go in, this is what's going to happen. And like, she told me, I said, I need to just kind of have a heads up on what's going to happen, you know. And then even after, she said, I went through the same thing. So, like, and she's one of my dear friends, and the same thing, like, having those friends, you know, it would be very hard to go through that alone.
Well,
very
I didn't
hard.
Actually know anybody with my first one. And so it was awful because, like, I mean, the DNC was awful just because, I mean, my doctor's amazing. She told me what was going to happen, but even just making the decision to have a DNC versus like a natural miscarriage is like, really, that in itself is a decision that you really haven't thought about. And I had so many questions around it, and I don't know that we want to get into it right now, so I won't, but it's just,
I probably had the same questions.
Yeah, I had all these detailed questions. It's a hard thing to decide, but ultimately I decided to do it. But I still did not have anybody to tell me at that point, like, when you wake up after having the DNC, you are just gonna feel so empty. And I just
100%.
Woke up, and you've got these drugs running through your body, and I just lost it. I mean, I was like beyond sobbing, like heaving, just because you think, I went in here, I came in this hospital and I had a baby, and now I don't have a baby.
And I don't have the baby anymore.
And I had the most incredible anesthesiologist that time. His name was Dr. Benny, and I requested him at a later date again because he was so wonderful. He was singing, he goes, I'm Dr. Benny, like, Benny and the Jets. And he's like singing this song to me before we went in. And he was a pediatric anesthesiologist. So here I am. I'm telling you, I had nobody. I actually had an amazing anesthesiologist.
You did. You did.
When I'm sitting there sobbing afterwards, he just looked at me. And for whatever reason, he was assigned to me that morning, not to a child in, you know, pediatrics. I don't know why.
That's amazing.
And he's telling me, he goes, you will be back here when the time is right and your body can handle having a baby. You'll be back here. And I was just like, okay, I mean, I don't know. He's probably done it a bazillion times, but he made me feel like he knew exactly what I was going through. And it was like words I hung on for years. I mean, yeah. Crazy. But anyway, that being said, I had an ectopic pregnancy later. And thankfully at that point, I did have a friend that had gone through that. So I was like in the doctor's office texting her going, okay, what happens? Like, what am I dealing with now? You know, but it definitely like, I couldn't have survived without even Morgan, who hasn't gone through miscarriages, like being there to let me lose it, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, we've had some hard times. Morgan and I were both pregnant at the same time at a later date. And we were just so excited. But of course, I was so nervous and because I thought I might lose it, and I did. And so it was just one of these things where, like, I felt guilty because I knew she would not feel like she could celebrate as much as she should be able to. But she's such a good friend, and she's sitting there, like, feeling how painful it is for me at the same time. But I didn't want to steal her joy, but I feel like I kind of did by mistake. But she never made me feel bad about it. Like, I don't know, I wasn't trying to do that. You can't help it. It's just one of those things. I remember she had Jack, and I was like, this is my baby too. My baby too, because I don't know if I'm gonna get to have another one or not.
And you all have such a wonderful, amazing connection, and so you met, and like, so you, and then you started making music together, right, first, and then you started having your babies, is that right?
Yeah, we've kind of written a few times prior to finding out that we were both pregnant, and then we became pregnant friends, then the girls ended up being born 4 days apart, and it was just like a series of events where we were like, this girl's gonna be in my life, like, for a long time.
There was definitely, like, a sister complex. Like, it was a very, like, sisterly... I felt very, I don't know, like, I could be crazy honest. Like, whether you're talking about all the weird things that happened during pregnancy that we were going through together, you know, at exactly the same time, or, I mean, what could have happened is we could have had our daughters, and we could have just, like... We don't live near each other. She lives an hour away from me. Like, we could have just gone our separate ways, and that was it. But we both wanted to keep writing. We kept thinking, we can't just like abandon our entire, like, the thing that previously made us tick other than having children, you know? So right before I met Courtney, I had kind of like given up music for a while. I moved to North Carolina with the Army for a couple of years, and I felt like super depressed. I didn't do anything creative, which is so not me. Like, I paint, I do design, I do music. Like, I am just a creative soul.
Yeah.
And so right before I met her, we moved back to Tennessee, and I looked at my husband and I was like, I'm not going to get a job when we move back to Tennessee. And he was like, okay. And I was like, hear me out. I'm going to pursue writing for a while. I need to know that I can't do this. Like, I really need to give it an honest try before I really say that it didn't work. And he was like, all right, that's fine. And I'm thinking, are you serious?
That's amazing. Yay, Sam.
He was so supportive. And I think it's because I just chased his butt across the, you know, the U.S., and have been game for whatever, which, you know, it plays into why it works for us. But yeah, I had just kind of committed, like, I'm going to give this a try. And then I met Courtney, and it was like, oh, wow. It was like so natural.
Well, and I had been doing it full time. Like, I had a publishing deal just prior to meeting Morgan. I think I was just like out of my first publishing deal there. And I've been writing full time for Martina McBride's company and Paul Worley, who, you know, produced like The Wreckers and The Dixie Chicks and Lady Annabelle.
That's crazy.
It was like I've been doing this prior to meeting my husband and prior to meeting Morgan. And it was like, that was my baby. That's what made me tick completely. Like, I used to say, and this is very extreme, but that's kind of how I was back in my teenage years and stuff. It was like, I loved music so much that I did not care if I met a guy. I didn't care if I had a family. Like, I just was so like into music, and I don't even consider myself that like artsy or creative. Like, I am a creative person, but I still feel like I'm very level-headed and very methodical and organized prior to having children. Says
the girl with a stack of boxes.
That is for my sister's bridal shower that's happening at my house in a couple weeks. That's not always there, but yes.
Yeah, I can vouch. Like, I can vouch. Your house is usually spotless.
Oh, no, not lately. You haven't been here in a while. Like, I need to take a video and post it so that people understand, like, it is not spotless ever since Ford started crawling and now walking. Oh, it's like,
kind
it's
of
over.
Just given up.
Yeah, ugh, it's over.
It's so hard.
That being said, like, I came close so many times, Jenna, like, to mm-hmm. having something that felt like it could be my big break, you could say. And
yeah.
Then I was out of my publishing deal. I was married. My husband's had some number ones and hits and stuff on the radio. And he was able to support us, but he was the one going, don't get a publishing deal. Like, don't go sign away everything for nothing. Like, you don't make mm-hmm. money as a new writer, as a baby writer. Like,
right.
You just don't make a lot of money. So he kept telling me, don't do it. Just, like, keep your own publishing, because mm-hmm. he believed that I was writing with enough, like, new artists and stuff that one of these things would pop. Well, thing after thing after thing was not popping. And it just,
a lot of almost.
Yeah, yeah, tons of almost. And anyway, Morgan and I actually met through writing with this girl that Paul Worley was recording stuff on at the time, and I didn't even write for him anymore, but his office set us up to write, and I'm forever grateful for that, because my life would look completely different if she and I hadn't met.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that I would still be writing and stuff if I hadn't
met Morgan. I would have, honestly. Like, there's just something about meeting someone that you're so simpatico with, mm-hmm. you know? Like, I remember that first song, I think it was our very first song we ever wrote together, Temporary Fix. I feel like it was.
Oh, yeah, I feel like it was, too.
And we never officially, like, released it, but it was, I really love this song. And, but I remember Courtney singing harmony, like, this low harmony, and I was singing the lead for, like, a second, and I was like, damn.
That's good.
I literally
what happened here?
I literally couldn't hear harmony parts for years. I didn't grow up singing harmonies. It wasn't something that my ear just naturally gravitated towards. And then she's sitting there, we're just recording a work tape, and I was like hearing it like clear as day. Like, this is
and
what
it
you're
felt
supposed
so
to
natural.
Sing. And I was like, what on earth is happening? Like, you're singing harmonies and you're good at it? Who are you? Like,
and I'm so thinking weird. Courtney's like this badass harmony singer.
Yeah, I was so not. But I am Morgan. It's like, I can just hear these parts, and it's like wherever her register sits, it's like
yeah.
perfectly right below mine. So I can either sing right above her or right below her part. And it just like, and her phrasing is exactly my phrasing. So, and I grew up in California. She grew up in Tennessee. So it's
right.
not
makes
like
no
we're
sense.
From the same part of town. Yeah, it doesn't make sense, but it works. And I just remember thinking, this is fun. I never wanted to be an artist. I just wanted to be like behind the scenes writing songs and hopefully other people would sing them. And I never loved performing. I used to like have severe anxiety, but when Morgan's there, it's like, I freaking have a blast.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
It becomes
be
fun.
Yeah.
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 It's crazy how people come in your life.
Yeah. Well, and so then we also kind of made the choice, like, we're going to write together once a week with our little infants in tow, because in the beginning they're pretty totable, and hers especially.
Right.
Hadley was like a great car traveler.
Yeah, she
and
was
Morgan
awesome.
Could just like haul her down to Nashville, and they'd just like roll around on the floor together, and we'd be like playing guitar, whipping out a boob if we had to breastfeed, like whatever had to happen. You
right,
know?
Right.
And it just worked. And like, it wasn't like we set out to be a duo. We were setting out to just keep writing. And then mm-hmm. we started going, wait a second, we've got these really good songs. We should
yeah, we gotta
them.
Make
them.
Yeah, we gotta make demos that
we gotta make demos and pitch them.
Marketable.
Right.
So we decided we were gonna try to package it as like a writing team. Like, we're gonna be Morgan and Courtney, this writing team, and pitch the songs. And sometimes an easier way to pitch stuff in Nashville is to just have it in EP form or like
but
a record
we need
form.
A good band name,
we need a good like writing name or writing like concept name or band name or whatever. But then before we even got the EP out, we were asked to start performing places together, and we're like, well, we definitely need a name now. So Yeah, I mean, we settled on Hadley Park after our daughter's Hadley Park.
It's Courtney's idea. She has full credit.
So cute.
Thank you. I just thought it sounded cool. I thought it sounded not even like a country band name. It sounded like some cool name. And then I was like,
well, apparently it is a cool name because it's a park in Nashville that we found out later.
That's right. But how fitting is that? And then also that it just, I mean, because you are moms together, it just, I just feel like it just fits so perfectly because it's your baby and then it's about your babies, you know, it just kind of all full circle.
Yeah. And the biggest thing for us was that we were really wrestling with this when they were infants, mm-hmm. especially because they were girls. Our first ones were girls. We did not want them to grow up thinking, oh, mom had me and gave up on her own dreams. Like we wanted them to go, oh, mom had me, kept going. Like, not neglect me, like, not put me in daycare.
No.
I'm not that there's anything wrong with that for people that, like, if that works for them and makes them feel fulfilled and tick and everything, that's great. But for us, like, we wanted to be present in their lives and still be role models and keep going and let them know that you still can do other things while still being really present for your kids.
Right. In some ways, I feel like they inspired you to keep going because they are your name and they, your songs are about, not all about them, but I mean, a lot of them are. And I think that in some ways that they kind of, having babies continued to push you to keep doing that.
You don't think a song about a minivan is about my husband?
Exactly. We're still waiting on that commercial deal.
I love that song, by the way. Just saying, it's oh my gosh, yeah. No, I think it's.
I want it on like a Toyota Sienna commercial. So
it would be perfect. It really would.
Live and Large in the Mini. For those that don't know what we're talking about, go look up our song "Live and Large."
Oh yeah. I'm gonna, it's so good. It's so good because it's true. I think, and I think with, you know, even any musician or business owner and mom, like even I'm going through this now because I started a business and it is, you feel that constant pull of like, well, you know, am I spending too much time on this? Or like, I'm, you know, have my temper, I mean, I have more of a temper today because I'm stressed out because, and then I take it out on my kid, you know, I feel like I take it out on my children and I never wanted that, you know, but then I think the same thing too. I feel like, you know, I don't want to give it up, but I also know that like my children are so important to me. So I think, you know, being able to do it through your music is amazing because you're kind of, you're just kind of going in the same direction. You know what I mean? And the same thing.
I have a theory on spending time with your kids.
Yes.
You know, if you're kind of like half in, half out, that it seems like they act out more.
Yes. 100%.
So I was watching this movie with Tina Fey and Steve Martin. I cannot for the life of me remember the name. We talked about this recently. I still have yet to look it up. But he was the boss, Steve Martin. And
I love him, by the way.
I do, too. He is like, I always thought he would be like the best dad. Anyway.
100%.
Yeah, but he was the boss, and he was like, okay.
I hear your ice cubes clinking.
We do 5 minutes of uninterrupted eye contact. And then he would, like, stare at his coworkers, his employees, in the eyes like this. His employees for 5 minutes. And it was, like, super awkward. So anyways, as a joke, Sam and I used to be – I'd be like, Sam, I need that eye contact, you know. And so I started doing it with Hadley. I'll be like, Hadley, do you need 5 minutes of uninterrupted eye contact?
And well, not for like 5 minutes. Cause she
it's
can't
not
really,
really 5 minutes. It's like 30 seconds, 15 seconds. But there is something about a connection where you're making eye contact. Mm-hmm. It is like there is a chemical reaction that happens in your body. I don't know if it's like a release of endorphins or something.
Yeah.
But eye contact is important. And if I challenge you. Right
I'm
now,
doing
next time
this.
Your kids are being crazy.
Okay.
Scoop one of them up and be like, do you need eye contact? And like, just stare at them in the eye. You can giggle, you can squeeze them, but like, they will run off and go play.
I'm totally doing that this week.
It magic. Truly works.
You
just give them like undivided attention. Put your phone down. Don't put your hands on your hips and just like,
big eye.
Whatever. Total attention. And they will, it will fill their cup.
okay, I'm going to report back on this. That's actually good advice because I think it is. They're acting out because you're not giving them the attention that they need
right then.
Yeah, you're half in. Yes, 100%.
How do you feel when your husband's on his cell phone playing a video game and you're trying to tell him a story about your day?
100%.
And he's playing Mario on his phone. Mm-hmm. Doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't feel good. So I'm going to do that with him too.
Yeah, I need 5 minutes of uninterrupted eye contact.
And so, yeah, we were at Urban Grub, and I was like, listen, I read this thing that said, you can fall, this was separate from you telling me about this, Morgan. You can like, fall in love with anyone if you ask them these random questions and, like, keep eye contact for 5 minutes. And I was like, Dave, we need this. Like, but this one, I don't fall in love, but maybe less. I know. I don't know. I don't think it did anything for us at that moment. But hey, I was worth a shot.
Oh my gosh, that is great though. I am gonna try that because I do. You do feel that way. You're like, oh, you know, and it, and so yeah. Just going back to just what you all do. I think it is just it fits in so perfectly, and you're with your music and having each other, and then just how you've created. Are you playing a lot right now, or is it like?
We did a couple of shows in August.
Okay. Yeah.
We had not played since we played at the Bluebird in January 2020. We were rusty. Yeah, well, we were like hauling back and forth to each other's houses for the 2 weeks before the shows with the kids trying to like practice.
It was
juggle the nap schedule. This was over the summer and it was not easy. We were both exhausted.
I laughed so hard later retelling this story, but we sat down on my couch. It was the very first song we had played in over a year and a half.
Yeah.
And we're like, let's start with an easy one, you know, one that, like an old one. And so we do it,
and we look at each other, and we high-fived, and we go, we still got it. I mean, it wasn't great, but, like, we still got it.
Yeah.
It was a lot worse. It was really pretty good. It was enough that I was like, we don't even need to practice that more than, like, one more time. That one was good.
Yeah.
So, that day. But, like, it was definitely, you know, it's been a while. But here's the thing that's cool.
It's like riding a bike.
Yeah,
that's right.
But also, I feel like our journey is evolving. Like, partly because we both have now two small children instead of just each having one. But
it's more of a juggle.
It's more of a juggle and a struggle. And also, the kids' schedules are getting busier. But also, COVID threw a big wrench in it. I mean, Morgan was coming down here to write in Nashville frequently, like once a week there for a very long time. And it just wasn't possible anymore. Like, I was pregnant. I didn't want her or anyone else around me that wasn't living in my household.
Right.
And she didn't want to be around people either. I mean, just like everybody else. So what ended up happening is once I had the baby and got settled in a little bit, which was like last August, my son was born and he was a horrible sleeper. So it definitely took a little while, but, so that played into the year and a half as well.
Exactly. But Morgan had thrown out to me like many times, we should do a podcast because through the years traveling with our daughters and playing shows with them around and different things, like we have some really like crazy funny stories and
we like to talk.
And we like in our shows, like our shows are not like a Luke Bryan concert in an arena.
No.
It's more like you're going to get the story behind the song, the funny stuff that's happened that goes into just the lifestyle that we have chosen to live with them. And anyway, she had thrown out that, you know, many times, like, our life is a comedy. We should have a podcast, or too bad people don't have, like, a camera on us, like, watching our day. But the thing is, you put a camera on and you're going to, it's not, nothing funny is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't predict when this stuff happens. It's just random. But anyway, I was always like, no, a podcast is so much work. We're already tapped out. Like, we've got enough on our plates. So suddenly, we recorded an entire EP worth of music right before COVID happened, and we were planning on, you know, doing shows and releasing this music and all this stuff, and suddenly we're like, well, gosh, we can't do that.
Well, right, and I had Jack, right?
And you had Jack.
And they're recording it, so I was kind of out of commission for a couple months.
And then I was pregnant, and so it was like,
you got pregnant. Yeah, it was,
we were just like, how are we going to promote this record? And then COVID hits, and we were like, well, now what happens? We're sitting on, like,
so we took a long pause.
But no, what happened is this podcast that she'd thrown out at me that I shot down many times.
Time and time again.
I
like,
was
she does
like,
most of my good ideas.
I was finally like, hey, it's time for the podcast. Because, look, we can do this from our own homes.
Yep.
And
separately and still do it together.
Nobody's driving an hour each way.
Right. We're just figuring out when an hour can fit into our schedules together, and we can do this podcast. And we have the concept. It's like we were inspired by each other and by our story, and we figured there's got to be a lot more people out there that, like, have inspiring stories about how you chase your dreams and raise your babies at the same time. Whether it is trying to do both at literally the same time like us, or whether it's, you know, putting your kids in daycare, or whether, like, a lot of it you can't predict. Like we said, like, you don't know how your life's going to work, and you figure it out as you go. And, I mean, some incredible people have come out the other side doing things they never dreamed they'd do, and we want to hear their story. Like, we want to know, how are you doing it? Why are you doing it? How is this possible? Because I know, especially, like, when you have that first baby, you're like, oh, my God, is my life over other than caring for this human? Like, how will I keep going? And so that's the premise for Chasing Dreams and Raising Babies, our podcast.
Literally, Chasing Dreams and Raising Babies. Very simple title.
Very, but yeah. So profound, though, because I think, too, like, you have to fill your cup as a mom, whether it is, you know, pursuing something like you all, or like, you know, a business for moms, you know, with mine, but or if it's just doing things for yourself and still, you know, your personal development and podcasts, the same thing. You know, when COVID happened, I remember I was like, I've got to get out of this house, but I couldn't really go anywhere. Yeah. So I was like, all right, I'll go for walks as early as possible, because you know how hot it is in Tennessee, and I'm a Michigander, so like the heat just kills me. But I remember walking with my, you know, he was one. No, how old? Yeah, he was one, one-ish. All the years kind of just like blend together now. But I remember listening to these podcasts, and I was so inspired by, you know, what they were talking about, or like pursuing your, you know, as, and many of them were moms, you know, and for me, it was one of those things where it's like, if I never try this, I will always regret it. I will always wonder if what would have happened if I, you know,
you
if I fail.
Also don't want to feel resentment at all towards your husband for having a life still, or towards your child for needing you, you know, like, or anything. When society tells us that we should be doing a certain thing, and then you feel pressured to do that.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Or giving up one of those things, you know.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I mean, people could look at me and say, well, you could be putting your kids in childcare and getting a publishing deal if you want, you know, trying to get a publishing deal if you wanted to, and writing full time. And
hell, you could work at Walmart.
I mean, the thing is, you could do anything. I could do a lot of things. This is what I want to do. Right. I want to be getting up at 5:45 in the morning with my baby. Okay, take that back. I don't want to get up at 5:45. No, but sleep 15 minutes later, because 6 a.m. just flips a switch in my head. But anyway, you get the point.
I agree. I want it 5 years.
Yeah,
maybe 6 years.
Yep.
Of these babies, where they're itty bitty,
and that's
and then
it.
It's over.
Then they go to school, unless you're homeschooling. Which are you doing that now, Jenna? Because my God, you are a God bless
Wonder Woman. Yes.
So that is an internal thing going on right now, because it's been on my heart, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, how in the world? But the same thing you were just talking about is I've joined some communities of people who are thinking about it, who like also run a business, and it's. Thank goodness, because I probably would have been like, well, you know, that's not possible, but it is possible because there are many moms doing it. And so, I am possibly doing that. Yes.
So I did virtual.
Yes.
The fall semester 2020.
Yes.
And into January, all our schools were closed, and it almost turned me into an alcoholic. So we won't be doing homeschool. I did consider it. But I really thought it was best for all of us if we went back to traditional. But I have a ton of respect for people who can juggle it all, because it is so hard.
Yeah. So hard.
So you truly feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. And I don't think – I'm not saying all husbands are like this. I can only speak in my experience. But my husband goes to work. Like, he walks out the door, he leaves – and then he comes home whenever he comes home.
Right.
You know, he leisurely goes and works out, or he has a late day. He doesn't go socialize. He just does, like, work stuff. But he comes home, and it's like,
why are you, they don't understand why we're so tired.
No.
Right.
Because your needs are, I mean, all day long, it's like one thing or this thing or that thing.
And then he sits down and he picks up his controller.
That's when I want to kill somebody. Yeah. I can't.
This
is why you have a girlfriend and a glass of wine.
That's 100. Yes.
Freaking blow a fuse.
So he's currently traveling right now for work. And I was like, wow, why is this like stress lifted? It's not that I'm glad he's gone because I miss him. It's that I'm not sitting here watching someone play Xbox while I clean the kitchen after I just watched children all day. Right. So it's just something nobody will ever fully understand again unless they're doing it. And then if you're like, hey, will you take out the trash? And they don't. And then you can't take it off your mental checklist.
Yeah, I have this whole rant about this. I won't go into it. But we all have these mental checklists.
Yes.
And when you need to delegate and they don't help you,
yes,
how can you not?
But if you ask, you're nagging.
Yes.
That's the problem. Like, you can't. We want them to read our mind and just do it because we would just do it.
Right. Are we allowed to say the B word on here?
Yeah.
Okay, so what I usually do to get, like, away with this is I'm like, listen, I'm about to be a huge bitch right now.
I'm about to be.
I haven't really crossed the line yet. But I'm going to need you to go take out that beeping trash right now, or you're going to start to see the whites around my irises.
Like, right now.
Message received.
Okay. I'm going to have to borrow that one.
Oh, that's
awesome.
You just
acknowledge that you're being a big old bee.
Yeah. Well, and that's, like my husband's like, I know you want me to know what to do, but I need you to, I need you to kind of like, you know, that's.
I can't read your mind. I need you to tell me. I'm going to tell you right now.
I'm going to tell you right now because I just did all the things today. Please go do that. Yeah. Yeah. It's hard. It really is.
From Morgan.
No, I love it. That I'm going to take. That's amazing. That is amazing. Well, and two, like I get up early in the morning and I never thought I would do that, but I need that time for myself. And if I could give anyone that, you know, if you can get up, like you said, even I try to get up before the kids, because then when they're up, it's like go time. Like
go.
And so for me, I felt like I was drowning, mostly during COVID, actually, because I just felt like I was like, I can't even wrap my head around what I need to do because, like, they're up. And then, like, my littlest, they're both very much mama's boys, but he's on and he like is following me around and, like, my, you know, it's just a lot. And so I had to, like, I get up at 5 a.m. every morning. I try to do like a routine, and then there's some days they're up at 5:45. I'm like, what are you doing? You know?
Yeah.
So it doesn't always go as planned, but I try, you know, and if I do homeschool, which I'm still trying to like pray about it and think through things, I will definitely, and I'm sure you all try to do the same, as blocking out time and having that time for yourself, whether it's 20 minutes or an hour or whatever, you know,
So I wasn't. And I almost had a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
And then I realized I took like a 2-hour bath one night and just sobbed for 2 hours. And my husband was like, you need to go to therapy. You sobbed in the bathtub. Dave looks at me and goes, okay, I'm going to watch the kids while you go to the grocery store, which is hysterical because I freaking hate going to the grocery store.
Yeah, because that's a break.
Thank you, Dave. Mama, it's become a break.
But it shouldn't be. That's the thing.
And this is, I've been on this, I've been following a lot of, like, self-help things and therapists on Instagram, you know, which is the best place to get all your therapy. But there is this whole thing that women think that going to the grocery store or taking a shower is a break or is a treat. And the reality is that's a basic chore. And we have been conditioned to think that that's a vacation for us.
Right.
And yeah, it feels like a vacation, but what about getting coffee with your friend for an hour, or staying up till 9:30 drinking wine with your girlfriends?
100%.
You know, you feel guilty if you do these things. And you shouldn't. Yeah.
And feeling like you have to, I always feel like I have to rush, and I'm like, okay, well, I got to take a shower real quick, or I've got to get these groceries real quick, or I've got to do this or that because I got to get back.
I got to get home.
Like having literally whatever it is. And honestly, more for me, more than an hour, because I just feel like I'm just settling in. You know what I mean? After 30 minutes to an hour, like, I feel like we need a good amount of time to really a day of, like, and literally, oh gosh, it could be doing nothing, which, you know, I know it. I think for all of us, it's hard because you have things you want to do. But even leaving your house, I think, because I think sometimes when I'm home, I'm like, oh, I see all the things I have to do.
Yeah.
Like, removing yourself from that space and, like, mm-hmm. whether it's going outside, like, I love to be outside, or, like, going, you know, with your girlfriends or whatever. So I definitely think that we all need that. Or to be creative. Like, I miss that. I feel like I guess to the whole mama I am in some regard, like, but I think having that creative space, you know, even if you're not very creative, I think it really kind of is an outlet for you.
100%. That's why, like, for you saying you get up at 5 a.m., what time do you typically go to bed?
So I had a wonderful coach who helped me. She goes, you need to get your sleep. So I try to go to bed by 11 or 10.
That's not enough sleep for me. I don't know how you can do that.
Oh, it's hard.
That's the thing. I'm terrible if I'm in bed at 11 and wake up that early.
Mm-hmm. I've been going to bed around 11 and I'm getting, you know, woken up at 5:45 or mm-hmm. 4:45, depending right. on the day, because he's just, like, all over again right now. And I'm just, like, so tired. I need, like, a solid 7 to 8.
Well, and then I'm napping during the day during his nap time. And I don't. Right. I need the nap time to pick up the house and do
That's
things
right.
or record a podcast.
And yes.
So, anyway, the me time, though, comes between 8 p.m. and 11 p.m. at night. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, I'm either working on a podcast or writing or doing something for myself or surfing the freaking TikTok and Instagram or whatever, which I
know.
Shouldn't be doing, but it's still me time and I'm, like, allowing it sometimes. But I don't know. I don't know how you function on 6 hours of sleep.
Well, and I shouldn't, though. Like, and that's, like, a good reminder for me, because really, you know, by honestly 8 or 9, and sometimes I fall asleep with my son when I take him to bed, and I know my body's, like, you know, by 8 o'clock I'm really not functioning great, so I really do need
Me
to go
too.
To bed. It's hard. I'd rather get up early in the morning and do stuff than try to stay up late, where I used to be opposite. As I'm getting older, I think it's just, like, I'm ready to, and my husband's really good about that. Like, he's like, I need to rest, you need to be done, and I was like, yeah, I do. So it's a work in progress, but I do need it. You know, I need to do better about that for sure. Yeah, I could chat with you all forever. I'm going to ask one more question, and then I'll just do, like, my fun lightning round, which is just to kind of, like, so people can get to know you guys a little bit. But as we've been talking about, you know, so for moms trying to, you know, fill their cup and take care of themselves, do you, like, recommend anything for them to do? Like, what is, like, one way they can get that in, you know, during a day or during the week? How can they fill their cup so that they can kind of, I think I serve my family better when I have whatever that thing is.
Oh, absolutely. I think there is no one size fits all here. Mm-hmm. It's what sparks joy for you. What brings mm-hmm. you joy? For me, I love gardening. Mm-hmm. I will go to Lowe's. My husband actually will, like, be like, oh, you're going to Lowe's. Please don't buy anything. Because I will go and I will spend like $200 on gardening stuff, whether it be plants or pavers or garden stuff. It brings me joy, and I'll sit out there and it's like my therapy. I'll, like, be mm-hmm. digging in the dirt, and it's just fine.
Touching the plants.
And set time aside mm-hmm. for that. Or let your kids be there with you. Your kids mm-hmm. deserve to see you happy. And those are, like, special fun memories that you can make with them.
I love that.
I agree with that, but I also think a huge part of it is letting go of some things. Like, mm-hmm. realizing that you can't do it all at the same time, and you can't have it all at the same time. So, like, for me, I'm sitting here, and if I wake up one day and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so tired. Well, that's going to be my priority that day, is using nap mm-hmm. time and after bedtime to catch up on my sleep. The next day, if I'm, like, maybe more recharged, then I'm going to be like, oh, okay, I've got energy today. Now I'm going to pick up the house so that I have a clean slate. And then at nap time and then at bedtime, I'm going to write, because that's for me. Like, that's when I can fit it in right now, because my little one's still too little. So to do, like, to completely, like, schedule other things unless I get a sitter and things like that, which has been difficult during COVID, but I do think I'm finally finding a couple sitters now. So anyway, I don't know. To me, it's like, just let go of some stuff and realize that you can't do it all at the same time. And also that these things are phases. Like, I'm in
the newborn baby 1 year old phase still. That's not gonna last forever. And then I will get to morph into the gardening phase like Morgan's talking about.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think that's great. Like if there's a day where, because I think during nap time, it's one of those things you're like, I could sleep, or I could get this all this stuff done. But sometimes if I try to push myself to do all that stuff, I'm really not as productive as I probably could have been if maybe I rested that day and then the next day I work on it, you know? So
or
I think.
Or you feel super grumpy late, like at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Suddenly you're like yelling at everyone and nobody's having a good time.
So this is a weird analogy, but I was like a really picky eater growing up, and the pediatrician told my mom, look, if she doesn't eat her vegetables every day, she's going to be okay. If she gets some in her system throughout the year, she's fine. So that's what I'm saying here. Like, if you don't get enough sleep every day, you're going to survive. If you don't get enough me time to garden or do whatever makes you sick every day, you're going to be fine. Look at it more of like a long stretch. Like, throughout the week,
do you get your something? Stuff?
Amen.
Yeah, do you get to do something for
Amen.
You? You know, have a shower or two.
Yeah, not trying to cram everything in one day, but more of, you know, looking at it in long term, like, how can I keep bettering myself and how can I do and it's not going to happen in a day. Sure. I love that. I think that's a great, that's just great advice. Thank you all so much. We're going to do a quick lightning round, if that's okay. This is fun.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and it doesn't have, again, doesn't have to be a perfect answer. I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but that's what's fun about it. So, I know we already kind of are chatting about drinks and the whole mama, we always have mugs and everything, but what's your favorite drink, any drink of all that makes your soul happy?
anything bubbly, La Marca, Prosecco, number one. Yep. Same.
Yep.
Period. Bubbles.
Perfect choice. I love that. Okay, second one is a quote or a song lyric that inspires you right now. Or
it's hard to think of, like, there's so many great songs.
Yeah.
But if we're talking Hadley Park songs, there is one answer.
Yes.
And that is the song we co-wrote with my nephew who had cancer 3 times. Amazing. And the song is called Things I've Learned. And we took a blog post that he wrote, and we took as many authentic lines from it as we could. And
that.
See the good in all things first.
Pray I have that helps. Shirt. I wear it all the time.
These are things I've learned. You know, find some friends. And that whole song, I would say, would be
and
the
in
most
fact,
inspirational song I've ever had my hands on.
If I can, I'm going to put the lyrics too, so if that's okay, so that people can see it. Because I think seeing it too, it's such a wonderful song. Courtney, do you agree?
I can't really add to that at the moment. All I can think of is Baby Shark and things like that.
And Cocomelon and other things.
Yeah, but again, like long term, I will find real music again someday.
Yeah. Just right now, it's, you know, or we're in the car and I have like something on. My oldest is like, Mom, can we put rock on? And I was like, Mommy just needs this for a second, okay?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We've been listening to the Nightmare Before Christmas soundtrack.
Oh. Wow.
It's like, I've got This Is Halloween, like, in my head.
In your head?
Oh my gosh. I have Parker's birthday playlist in my car and it makes Ford Be Quiet, which is amazing, but it starts with Call Me Maybe by Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh God.
If I hear that song one more time, I'm going to freaking lose it.
The things that make us go crazy. And is there, I know we've all both have podcasts. Are there any other podcasts that inspire you or encourage you?
Dr. Becky at Good Inside. Have
this
you.
This woman needs to pay you, Morgan.
Dr. Becky I pimp Dr. Becky out at every opportunity. She is my Instagram therapist. I have gained so much from her over COVID.
I need to listen to her.
Like an overnight sensation. She started posting things about, she is a clinical psychologist for pediatric patients, I guess, and she also works with families. And she's incredible. Go look her up.
I'm going to look her up tonight because we all need, I always look for good people to listen to.
She's
and
amazing.
Yeah. Okay. Courtney, you got any?
Just say Dr. Becky.
Okay, Dr. Becky. I've never listened to a podcast prior to us starting our own podcast. I was like, I better get into this a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of falling behind.
I enjoy Anna Faris's Unqualified as well.
Oh, I haven't listened to that. I need to. I need a good funny one. I listen to a lot like that are inspirational or whatever, but I think having a good funny one in there is good. Okay, last question. What do you hope moms take away from your music, your podcast, just what you all have to offer together?
I think just like in a perfect world, they'd be motivated by our story of being able to, you know, still go after that thing that you thought you wanted for your life, mm-hmm. even after you have children. So I hope that inspires them to just keep doing it themselves. Open an Etsy shop, do whatever it is that, like, you know, makes you tick.
Yeah.
And do it for your kids too. Be that role
and
model.
Life is not perfect.
Yes. Just do it.
Messy.
Do it messy. Yes.
And just enjoy it all different.
Oh, yeah.
Just enjoy the moment and then focus on the next moment. Don't look too far in the future.
I love that.
And don't compare.
Just do the thing, messy. Thank you so much, ladies, for joining me today. It has been so much fun. Hey, Mama. Thank you for joining me at the barn today for the Whole Mama podcast. I hope you've laughed, reflected, and learned something valuable to take home to your family. I'll meet you right back here next week. And in the meantime, focus on these important things. Take care of yourself. Read daily with your children. And find times throughout the day to truly be present with your family. This time is precious, so we must embrace those moments and be intentional about it. Lastly, remember to find those things that bring you joy daily. That cup of coffee, those comfy leggings, that song or that scripture, or even that glass of wine. Whatever it is, make sure you find that daily joy for yourself. You deserve it, Mama. If you enjoyed this show, please consider supporting it and click the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes. For more content, community, and connection, please subscribe to receive a monthly Whole Mama newsletter at my blog at IamTheWholeMama.com and follow me on social media. Thank you again for joining me today, and I'll meet you right back here for our next episode at The Whole Mama.